Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday. And we had a wonderful time over here on the due time. And we started with our girlfriend Vivian and her socially conscious segment. And things are looking up for us in that COVID area. The numbers were coming down in three of the states. That didn't mean days. Yes, in our top five, three numbers had come down. So, you know, we might be in a better, you know, area after all this time. And she always got some stuff to bring us. Well, they have been advising us not to pick up any folded bills because it may be laced with fentanyl or methamphetamine. Now, quite some time ago, we did a story about a cop who had been exposed to some fentanyl, and he passed out. So, you know, listen, I know things might be hard. I know times might be a little tight. But if you see that folded money up on the ground, leave it, okay? All righty. And what about this TikTok challenge? With the water pellet gun. Yes, Vivian told us there's some little bees in the gun. And randomly, you know, these people were shooting this water pellet gun. Hit a woman in her back and she suffered a collapsed lung. Oh, my goodness gracious. And unfortunately, she gave us that story about the four-year-old who went in for a hernia repair. Yes, was supposed to get a hernia repair procedure and ended up with a vasectomy. This is a four-year-old we're talking about. So, as always, you know, quite a bit of Vivian's news was wow worthy. But I tell you, you know, it just makes you realize how blessed you are. Okay, well, we had a conversation with two ladies, women of worship, yesterday. Yes, we were pretty scared, but Pastor Kim and Shantice pulled it off, and we talked about symptoms of a hardened heart, and it was a really good conversation. We talked about hopelessness. You know, when a person is hopeless, that could be a symptom of a hardened heart, because, you know, when you have a hardened heart, you know, you really see it very far. Your hardened heart almost puts blinders over your eyes. Yeah. And you really don't, your faith level, you know, is really pretty, not that great, you know? And what about worry? Yeah, that's what happens when you're hopeless. When you're hopeless, you get to worrying, because remember now, it's only in Christ that we have hope. And once we have hope, then we know there's nothing to worry about, because we put it in the Lord's hands. Well, if we don't feel like we have hope, then we're going to worry. That's an automatic byproduct of hopelessness. And we talk about that dry devotional time. Now, here's the thing about what we the things we were talking about yesterday. Unfortunately, the things that are a byproduct of a hardened heart can also cause you to have a hardened heart. So if, you know, you're not giving God everything, if you just come in the service and, you know, you're just looking around, and if you're not going to service and, you know, your personal devotional time, you know, you don't put on that, you know, that little gossip music and you don't get to clapping. You know, you turn on the music in your house or in your car or, you know, on your way to work, and you're just not moved. Yeah, and you're pretty dry. That can cause you to have a heart attack. But since we're talking about what happens after, you know, to show you have a heart and heart, yeah. You know, once your heart is hardened, you really, there's no real stimulation inside of you to give God your all. So, you know, those are just some of the things that happen when you have a hardened heart. So, you know, my advice to you is to get yourself together. Because like I said, you know, if you're supposed to be a child of God and somehow or another you've let something get you to the point of having a hardened heart, then everything that we talked about yesterday will be yours. Everything we talked about yesterday will be you. And you know, you have got to make sure that you get yourself together at all times, because it's very easy to get to the point where you have a hardened heart. Oh yeah, that doesn't take a lot of work. All you have to do is do nothing. All you have to do is sit back and let your environment dictate what happens to you. All you got to do is be that dry Christian. You know, you don't put everything you got into serving God. All you have to do is make everything else more important than the Lord. And you will end up with a hardened heart. And I'm going to tell you something. When a person has a hardened heart, you can see them a mile away. Yeah, it ain't hide the heart. It ain't hard to hide. It's not hard to hide at all. So my advice to you is to get it together. Get it together. So that won't be you. So let me warn you again before I finish. Please don't let life drive you to a hardened heart. And when you have a hardened heart, you will have to get yourself together, because a hardened heart will take you down. Yeah. Just think about all the stuff that we talked about yesterday. We talked about, like, overall, like, 7 days. Because Pastor Sean closed out with an unhealthy fear. Yeah, that was part of the list. You know, signs that you have a hardened heart is unhealthy fear. And unhealthy fear will definitely freeze your heart up, because you'll be too afraid to do anything. And when you're too afraid to do anything, oh, you are definitely vulnerable to your nasty flesh, your nasty spirit, and the enemy. So let's get life together. Because if you don't, it will get you. All right? All right. Well, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes. The day we focus on our health, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, and let's see, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, sometimes even financial, and any other kind of illness you can think of. All right, that's what we're talking about. Just getting all those things together. All righty. And I'm so happy to have you with me today. You know, it's a little rainy over here in the city of New York, but that's all right. There's sunshine in my heart. So, come on, come on. Let's go. And let's get that healthy breakfast. Let's go and tell somebody it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And remember, don't go anywhere. Because we'll be right back.
Five million Americans are living with Alzheimer's disease, and another 16 million husbands, wives, children, and friends are caregivers. But the right foods may help you prevent it. Vegetables, fruits, whole grains, beans, the same foods that fight diabetes and heart disease can also keep your brain strong and memory sharp. Let's eat right to fight Alzheimer's. Visit eattofightalzheimers.org.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes. Oh, the day we focus on our health. And that could be any part of our health. Okay. And, how are you this morning? I am feeling really well, thank you. And giving God thanks because he woke us up this morning on this side of the week. Yes, most of the week is going on by. And we are almost finished. Thus is our life. We only got one more day of this work week. And then we'll be in the weekend. And it's a long weekend as we celebrate Juneteenth. Yes. So, you know, another federal holiday. Now, remember, prior to this, we didn't have any federal holiday in the month of June. No, we went from May. That last weekend that in May to 4th of July. Yes, June was one of the rare months that had no federal holiday. And now, thanks to Juneteenth, we actually have a federal holiday. Okay, so let's get those pens out, because we got something to talk about this moment. All righty? All righty. Now, where are we going? Where are we going? All right. We're talking about those carbs this morning. And they got some carb myths that the dietitians want to debunk. Yes. You know, we've always heard tons and tons of stories about carbs, and the dietitians say, you know what, we're going to settle this thing, you know, once and for all, and let's get rid of these myths. Myth number one, you can't lose weight while eating carbs. Yeah, you know, they always say, you know, you got to cut out the carbs in order to lose weight. Well, they say that's not true. Okay. They say that the dietitians want you to know that it's not the only way to lose weight by cutting out carbs. They say that when you drastically cut carbs, you do experience faster weight loss initially. They say, however, this may be due to water weight loss, and you might regain the weight once you give up that strict eating, you know, style. So in other words, once you pick back up the carbs, expect to pick back up the weight. So you're going to have to really, you know, if you're going to a no-carb diet, then what you're going to have to do is stick to very, 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 very little carbs, you know, if you start eating carbs again, because you're going to gain that weight. So what they say is you can lose weight if you eat carbs. Just make sure you have a low-carb diet, okay? They say also including carbs in your weight loss plan is often more sustainable, okay, because you, if you put those complex carbs in and you're getting your portion size together, then you can lose weight. So, you know, people who say you can't lose weight if you eat carbs, that's not true, okay? Myth number two, carbs cause fat gain. Is that true? Well, they say no. They say carbs are broken down and it becomes sugar, which is extremely easy for the body to break down. Okay? They say before a cracker you eat has a chance to be swallowed, digestive enzymes in your saliva have already begun the process of chemical breakdown. Okay? So they say if there are excess sugars in the body, three things can happen. Your body thinks it's waste of energy to create a storage site, so it increases its metabolic rate. Number two, they will be stored as glycogen in muscle tissue or the liver to be used for energy during exercise. So carbs don't necessarily cause fat gain. Okay? Carbs myth number three. All carbs are created equal. And they say, no. No. They say that beans and peas, yogurt and milk, fruit, vegetables, and whole grains all contain some amount of carbohydrates. So they say while it's a good idea to limit overly processed carbs, such as white bread, desserts, things like that, make sure you get that proper balance. And that's why it's important to eat a thorough diet, see? Because if you eat, they're saying if you only eat one side and you don't eat the other side, you're going to have an imbalanced diet. And it may not work for you very long. Okay? All righty. Carbs myth number four. You ready? Finish writing? Okay. Cutting carbs means you'll burn more fat. So they say another common reason people cut carbs when trying to lose weight is the idea they'll become fat adapted and burn more fat as a result. So they say it's true that your body can run on mostly fat diet, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're burning more body fat. Okay? So that's not true. So let's get that balanced diet out. Okay? Myth number five. They say carbs don't play a role in gut health. Carbs are important because they help healthy gut bacteria. And they say you've probably heard about the benefits of healthy microbiome. Well, they say good bacteria help keep our gastrointestinal tract healthy and act as an immune barrier for harmful bacteria that can make us ill. Okay. Fiber, we always talk about fiber. Fiber is our friend, which is found in carbs, plays a key role in feeding these gut bacteria. Okay. So carbs that can help feed our microbiome include whole grains, fruits, beans, and vegetables. So that's why we're told to make sure we eat lots of fiber, okay? Because remember, it helps our gut health, and we always talk about that. So we here on this due time, we're not very, unaware of that, okay? Myth number six, you don't need carbs pre and post-workout. Okay, so they say many of us prioritize eating protein around workouts to maximize muscle building. And they say it's a mistake for people to focus only on protein to support their workout. Proteins and carbs work together to provide the muscle with fuel and the raw materials to build and get stronger. If carbs are skipped, you actually risk losing muscle mass or having a poor recovery. Okay. So, that one goes out the window. Myth number seven. Processed carbs are addictive. Listen. Nothing is addictive. I'm just going to say it like that. Nothing is addictive if you balance things properly in life. Nothing is addictive if you have control over it and it doesn't have control over you. And I'm just going to talk about it like that. Okay? Eat a healthy, balanced diet. I know some people like There are people who love rice. There are people who love potatoes. There are people who love pasta. And these things are definitely carbohydrates. Heavy carbs. Heavy carbs. And they really, really like it. You know, they, but they have to make sure, as in every, you know, everything else, that you balance it out. And again, you don't just sit and eat a plate of rice, or you don't just sit and eat a plate of pasta. You know, it's balanced with something else, or it definitely should be balanced with something else. Okay? I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't like that word addicted. You know, when people say I'm addicted to chocolate, I'm addicted to it. I don't like that word. I don't like that word. I said, you know, Chachi's always talks about the word fast. I say that definitely should be in your word fast dictionary, the word addicted, because you never have to be addicted to anything as long as you let God have control over your life. I don't care what it is. You know, I will say I love me some so-and-so, but I will never say I'm addicted to anything. All righty. Myth number 8, carbs aren't good for your health. And they say, the truth is carbs are good for your health in ways you might not expect. Long-term health outcomes in people who eat carbs are favorable. Complex carbs play an essential role in heart health and diabetes. The fiber found in carbs has a positive effect on cholesterol and helps regulate blood sugar and energy levels throughout the day. And I definitely want to stamp that one about that energy thing. Yeah. Because I'm going to tell you something, when you don't eat carbs at all, your energy level, it ain't got nothing to do with no vitamins either. Because vitamins don't give you the same type of health and energy that carbs give you. So that's what I said, you know, be very careful. And when I saw this article, I definitely wanted to give it to you, because over the years, and I'm talking decades, you know, they've been talking about how carbs are, you know, bad for your health, and you know, it's not the best thing if you overdo it. And that's anything. You know, if you eat a lot of fruit, yeah. If you eat a lot of fruit, guess what? It's the same concept. Because fruit is much more sweet than regular sugar. Yeah. Yeah, they tell us diabetics, you can only eat 15 grapes because grapes are so full of sugar. And, you know, we overdo it because we think that it's better than eating candy. Well, it is better than eating candy, but if you overdo it, it has the same effect. Okay? So you have to balance everything out. All right. So what are we talking about today? Let's see what stories I have. All right. So they have this story of these three children who were abandoned on an island. Now, they say a boater came across three children who had been stranded on a South Carolina island. Excuse me. Now they say the mother is accused of leaving her kids behind. She took her children, 12 to 15, on an island in Lake Hartwell. And they say it's a popular destination for water activities in Georgia. And they say their family was camping along the lake when the mother reportedly told the kids she was going to get water and never came back. Now, we know that, you know, when you look at TV, you know, a lot of times, you know, there's this common story that people tell, you know, dad went to get a pack of cigarettes or dad went to get us some bread and milk and never came back. We hear that story all the time from dad. But on Monday, June 13th, Mom pulled this bull. Oh, Mom said, you know what? Dad ain't the only one who could go get water and don't come back. So, you know, there was a boater who came across the kids and picked the kids up. And when they got back to sea, if you will, they said the mom was later found and she was arrested and charged with 3 counts of unlawful neglect of a child. Now, they say the mother's boyfriend, who had also been on a camping trip, left the island with her, but was still reported missing as of the 15th of June. And he's also wanted for several counts of child neglect. So they're not only going after mom, they're going after boyfriend. Let me do this, excuse me for a minute. Thank you. So, you know, can you imagine these days and times, people still pulling this? I'm going to the store and they don't come back. But how you leave your kids on an island? And here's the thing. If they found her and arrested her and charged her with neglect, that means she have a good enough reason for leaving them kids. So in other words, they was like, hey, mom, where you been? We found your kids and they were abandoned on an island. What happened? And she was like, yo, you know, okay, let me tell you, I went to get water, right? And the car broke down and I couldn't get back to them. Whatever she told them, it wasn't good enough. So they arrested her, but yeah. I don't know, y'all. You know, we've been talking about this breakdown of these moms and, you know, how, you know, they're just losing it and giving up. So, I don't know. We just got to pray for the moms. We got to pray for the moms. And maybe soon, you know, we'll pray for the moms again on, you know, the Word Prayer Project, because really, you know, it's 12 to 15 years old. You left these kids on an island. Did they have something to eat? Did they have enough to eat? Were they really safe? You know, and I can't even imagine being abandoned. I can't even imagine being abandoned. That must have hurt their little heart. So I don't know where dad is, or, you know, if she's in contact with dad, or hopefully so. So, you know, the children have someone reliable to go back to. Well, I am happy to hear this. And, you know, this is bittersweet news. This is bittersweet news because they've got a North Florida prison guard who's paying the piper for his participation in that U.S. Capitol fiasco last January. And I know it don't sound really nice, but I'm about tired of these people getting off. Okay? So, check this out. So, you know, they've been going after all the people that participated in this chaos that took place on the Capitol last year. So this Jonathan Carlton, who worked at Union Correctional Institution, is now not only unemployed, but he will lose his subsidized housing that was provided as part of his employment. And that was his sentence. Yeah. You know, I would say that's his subsequent sentence. So he pled guilty in March for parading and demonstrating or picketing in a Capitol building. And here's what he claims happened. Well, he says that he was, you know, parading and picketing and marching and all of this kind of stuff. And as the people started going into the actual building, he somehow, that was not his goal. His goal was just to picket, so he said. And he wanted to turn around when he saw things were getting a little crazy, but it was too late because he said he was literally pushed inside the Capitol and he fell beside an overturned desk and injured his leg. And he ended up being helped up by a Capitol police officer and subsequently arrested. So, now let's talk this thing out here. So you just happen to be marching and parading on Capitol Hill next to the building. And when things got crazy and everybody started to bum rush the building, you wanted to turn around, but you just happened to be pushed inside the building. And you fell over a desk. Man, dumb luck. Right? Because if I were you, you shouldn't have been out there in the first place. And that's what he's ultimately paying the piper for. If he really didn't, go inside willingly, and when the people ended up bum rushing the building, you ended up being caught in the middle and, you know, dragged inside by the riot, you know, then poor you. Okay? So they say he's facing up to 6 months in jail. And wait, I wanted to see what, because there was something in this that I really thought was interesting. Oh, they say he could face up to 6 months behind bars, but his lawyer argued that probation and community service would be better fitting the crime. Now, here's the problem. Remember now, they're all going to pay the price because there was someone killed. There was a police officer killed, if you remember. And he's not going to get off. You know, listen, remember, long gone the days of you committing a crime and somebody dies in the commission of your crime and you don't eat that. No. You have to eat that. So not only did a police officer die, but remember there were civilians who died as well. So they're saying that if it wasn't for all of you meleeers, all you people involved, then these people wouldn't be dead, especially that police officer. So you just getting like community service? Oh, no. That probably won't happen, depending on the mood of the judge. And if he's determined to make all of you pay, then guess what? You gonna pay. And the sad part about it is, you know, you're not only gonna spend them 6 months in jail, but again, now you've lost your good job, which you probably took off that day. I mean, you could have had the day off, but possibly taking off that day to be a part of this melee. Yeah. Because it was stupid anyway. what are you out there picketing for? Because somebody said that they didn't lose the election legally, legitimately. So remember, pick your battles. If this don't teach people to pick their battles, because remember, one of the people involved in all that chaos on the inside, she lost her life. So, hey, don't go out for every cause. Don't be out there picketing for every cause. All right. Talk about losing. Now, this one is crazy. You have this woman who loses custody of her daughter to her alleged rapist. So, there's this woman in Louisiana. And when she was 16 years old, she met this man who was 30 in 2005 at a bar. So, see, we already starting off wrong. Because if you're 16 years old, what are you doing at a bar? Well, they say he gave her a ride home, but she never made it home. Instead of her getting home, he took her to his house. And once they got in the house, he raped her. Well, she's now 32. And she has this child. And this is a really weird story. She said that she just gave birth to the child and she just went ahead and lived her life. And when she was 5 years old, a little girl, this man found out that he might have a child and he pursued custody. So at the time, believe it or not, despite the rape allegation, he was granted 50-50 custody. Now, that's a rare occasion right there. So she said he thought that once the rape happened, you know, she's a kid at this time. So once she felt she was raped, she said that she couldn't pursue the rape after the next day. Like, so in other words, if I don't say anything, you know, after the next day or so, I lose my ability to, you know, file for this rape. But someone told her, a counselor told her that, no, that's not true, that you have 30 years after your 18th birthday. So I also wanted to share that with anyone who might be listening. You know, if you know anybody, yourself, you know, it may not be that way in your state, or I don't know if that's a federal law or anything, but that's the way it goes down. So they say the same year, she pressed criminal charges against him for rape, and the case is still open. Now, since filing the report, nothing's happened. Okay? So this is quite some time ago, because I believe this was in 2011. And they say, unfortunately, this is not new, that many women who file, you know, complaints against people, it takes a long time. So now this is the part that really makes, you know, puts a twist in the story. They say a judge granted him full custody of the daughter this year after he alleges that the mom gave the teen a cell phone. Now, this is really sick because, who has ever heard of something like that? But here's the problem. Over the years, she said he had threatened her multiple times, telling her he has connections in the justice system, so she pretty much better watch her step, because things might not go the way she wanted them to go. And she said she didn't believe him. Well, clearly, he's got some hookup in the justice system, because who does that? Who grants you custody, full custody, because you gave a cell phone, then baby? What happened to all these eight-year-olds who got cell phones and six-year-olds who got cell phones? And yeah. And that's all this news story say? Yeah, it doesn't say that she was guilty of anything else. And remember now, the rape case is still open. So who's to say that he can't rape the daughter? Because we've heard of worse. We just did the story last week of the man who raped and killed and slit the daughter's throat. She was 15 years old. So you can't trust these fathers. Who would give an alleged rapist, a child rapist at that? Now remember, mom says that he raped her when she was 15. The daughter is now 15. Yes. So I'm not saying he will, but unfortunately, we can't say he won't. Right? Right. Wow. But I got this other story. So, remember the other day when we talked about, that was Tuesday, when we talked about the guy who, talk about, we're going to follow up with this. You know, everything seems to have a trail this morning. We're going to talk, we've been talking about threats, you know, threats people make. You know, the guy just made threat and said, you know, if you don't do right, I know people in high places. Well, the other day, we talked about the guy who shot mom and shot mom-in-law, if you will, twice in the head. So he kills mom. He shoots the mom's mother in the head twice. He then goes on the property of the church. And he shoots the little baby, the one-year-old, and then he shoots himself. Well, are y'all ready for this? They say that he had already been arrested and spent time in jail after making threats that he was going to kill this woman. This same woman. The same woman. He had just gotten out of jail. Now, this was sickening to me. They say that he had threatened her. He was arrested. And they say he was arrested in April on charges of felony terroristic threats and harassing phone calls. Now, check this out. This don't sound like nothing mild, right? This sounds like nothing mild. They done upgraded this thing to felony terroristic threats and harassing phone calls. And the woman indicated that he came to Washington, that the woman's home, and threatened to kill her last July. He had been released on $7,500 bond and was ordered to have no contact with her. Well, he clearly ignored that order, came back to her home on Saturday night and killed her. I don't understand. What is this thing with bond? They need to really address thing here. This bond thing. Stop giving bond to everybody. Because every time we turn around, you are giving bond ability to people who come back and commit the crime all over again. This is sick. 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 How, you know what? Here's the thing. I want to know how every single judge feels when you give these people bail and bond. Let's go back and read this thing here. What are we calling this? Felony terroristic threat and harassing phone calls. And he was released on $7,500 bond. Well, what kind of felony terroristic threat? You're going to get a $7,500 bond. clearly they ain't too worried about you. Because clearly any idiot can make these numbers. And that's what's been happening. These people have warned you that this is what they were capable of. And I'm sorry. I'd be suing somebody. I don't care. I don't care if I lost. I don't care if I lost. It just wouldn't matter to me. It would not matter to me because somebody has got to start waking up who's sitting on that bench and realize that this here, this is too much. This is just way too much. This is way too much, y'all. Let's just be talking to our D-Time crew because I'm mad now. I read this last night and I was so sick and disgusted. Good morning, Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning, good morning. I'm just as upset as you are. How's everything going?
Everything is okay, Brother Al, till I revisited this story this morning.
We're not gonna stop there.
We're gonna build up to that story.
Right. Let me give you my quick quote real quick. And that quote is, excuses are for losers. And that's for me, myself. Brother Coach Al, that's what I tell my basketball team. Because when we have practice and they come, oh, I had to do that. Always excuses. So I thought, excuses are for losers.
Now,
your very
right.
own Brother Al.
All right, Brother Al, go ahead with your quote this morning. Thank you for joining us today. All right, Brother Al, we got some stuff to talk about. Where do we start? So you've got these three children who were abandoned by mom on the island in Georgia. She was going to get water and never came back. Now, we know the dads have been known to say, I'll be back and never return. But what's this thing now, Brother Al, with the moms?
Wow, you know, that is crazy. Like, you take the kids to an island and be like, hey, listen, y'all, I'll be right back, all right? You take care of your sister, I'll be right back. You know, just, you know, and I get it from, you know, doing the training and stuff. Your parents get a breakdown and need a break. But that's the wrong break, you know. Call a friend or a family member and say, listen, can you just watch these kids for a few hours or so? Let me get a mental recharge. But you go to an island and drop them off. So now if you wanted to get rid of the kids, then you just did because they're not going to give you back those kids. And that's child neglect,
right.
Child abandonment. You didn't did that, and you just broke all the rules.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to get rid of them kids, you just done it.
That's right. And that you got that break all right, Brother Al. Just like you said, you got a long break because you're going to J-Yo.
Now you got to worry about Big Martha.
Right. That's right. You asked for it, you got it. Ah. All right. So you got this North Florida prison guard who was a part of that crazy Capitol incident last year, and he might be facing 6 months for his part in the melee, but the bigger loss is his job as a correction officer, as well as his subsidized housing that he got, you know, from being a correction officer. Do you think that's overkill?
Not at all. You had no business having your behind down there. You know why they was going down there. You know the purpose of them going to the Capitol. So don't try to sit there and, like, start crying now. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like I told people. If it was outside of the fence down there, you didn't have to worry about no trial or nothing like that because they would have killed her. Bottom line. You know what I'm saying? So you were down there. You knew what was going on. You know why the people was there. So, no, I think you should get more than that.
All righty now. Now, what do you think about this woman who accuses this man of rape? They gave him 50-50 custody quite a few years ago, and now he threatened her and told her she better watch her step, that I do nothing wrong, because he knows people are high places. And he got the daughter, he got full custody of the daughter simply because mom gave the child a cell phone. And now he has the daughter, and he's an accused rapist. Well, how safe do you think this is, Brother Al?
Not safe at all. I'm listening to that story, and I'm like, yo, are you serious? Now, you didn't rape this girl. Now, you know, of course, allegedly, and because, you know, they didn't go to prove anything. But you are accused.
Hi.
You are accused of raping somebody. Then you get custody. You know how hard it is to get full custody of a child from a mother? So,
Okay. Again,
he made the comment of he know people in high places. So this is how you got that child. You know, it had to be, because I've seen mothers that's on drugs and did all type of stuff to the kid, and they did not take full custody away from his parents. So for him to get full custody over a cell phone, like you said, there's kids out here on cell phones, you know, 5, 6 year olds, all ages. So yeah, he knows some people that some, and it's dangerous, because if he did it to you again, like you said, he can rape his daughter too. So yeah, he knows some people in high places.
Absolutely. All right, Brother Al, we coming down. So now we talking about this man who threatened this woman, went to jail, got out, and killed her anyway. Came through with his threat. Should they stop bail and bond for these people who are threatening to do these things? Because it's actually giving them an opportunity to carry it out. We'll do a leave for that.
Sorry about that. Yeah, no, I'm sorry about that. Kid was talking, I had to rush him off. you know, that's insane. And I've been saying this for the longest about this, those order of protection. Okay, I give you a piece of paper. You better stay away from that woman. Don't go 50 feet of them. Here's the paper. Don't do it. And then you leave it alone. I honestly think that, number one, I agree with you. It shouldn't be no more. You just sat here and told me you're going to kill. You told me what you're going to do. Oh, you know what? No, you're not getting out. And if so, then you need to have some protection for that woman. I don't care. Provide some security for that woman. Okay, he's out on the loose. You need to have a police or somebody around that woman. That's I always said that. That just don't make no sense to me. I always disagree with the order of protection. People say, I got an order of protection. But that paper ain't going to stop this fool from coming to kill you.
Yeah. Many a woman is dead, you know, now after she's got some order of protection sitting on the table in a home. And unfortunately, this does nothing for anybody to be protected. It rarely works, and they really need to now make these judges pay for these things here. And hopefully if they start doing stuff like that, then, you know, here we go. You know, now you may start getting some different results. Thank you, Brother.
And you know, Pastor Steph, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, one quick note on that before we go
more.
And one thing that I always said, if this person is being threatened and given an order of protection, then this person should be able to carry a weapon or something to protect themselves. And if they happen to harm this person, then they don't get in trouble, because there's an order of protection saying that this person is coming after me. I've seen that, where a woman had an order of protection and she tried to, you know, and the guy came after her, and fortunately she was able to fight him off. She stabbed him up and everything, and she went to jail. So I'm like, how does that work?
Yeah, I've heard that,
like, that's
too.
Insane to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so if
that.
I got an order of protection, I should have the right to protect myself against that person. And they need to change that too.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, that she ended up going to jail for protecting herself. So this system is quite twisted, Brother Al. I'm in complete agreement with you. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back to continue this conversation. All right. Where's my Pastor Charlene? Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, good morning. How are you, my love?
I am well, thank you. How are you today?
I am well, thank you.
That's good. All right, Pastor Charlene. We're talking about this abandonment on an island. I mean, is that something that you wish you could have done a couple times?
Don't think yeah. I didn't think of it. No, I'm just playing.
It's like, truth be told, a whole lot of us wish there was an island we could have dropped somebody off for a couple of hours. What's your thought?
Well, my thought was she got tired of the boyfriend saying to get rid of them kids, and she did it because you stated Ooh. That her and the boyfriend was gone.
Yep.
So he said, if you want to be with me, and there's a lot of females that do that now, if you want to be with me, we're going to get rid of the kids.
Yeah, yeah. See, I thought when they said that the boyfriend was missing, I thought they were alluding to her doing something to the boyfriend. But then they said they were looking for him to charge him. I was like, oh, okay, well, she ain't did nothing to him. So, yeah, you know, right now, you know, you do know, you have heard of men giving women alternatives, and or sometimes the men don't even have to give the alternative. Sometimes she feels, you know, in order to keep this man, she's got to get rid of the kids. So, you know, either way, yeah, you know, we talked about this before, you know, women leaving the children, abandoning the children for the man. So,
that's right.
Well, I'd like to find out, later, Pastor, I can always call you Pastor Kale, Pastor Charlene, that, you know, if that was the case, if later they find the boyfriend, I'd really like to see that father.
And also, remember, they teenagers, so they got a lot of mouth. Bah, 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 bah.
Oh, yeah, the 12 to 15-year-old, yeah. I ain't doubting if there's a reason why they should have been dropped off, but that's a bit much. That is a bit much. All right, do you think the punishment fits the crime? You're out at the U.S. Capitol. You're a part of this melee. People are killed, you know, during all of this madness. You lose your job as a prison guard, as well as your housing, and 6 months possibly in jail. Does the punishment fit the crime?
Oh, he needs more than that. Because, one, you shouldn't have been there. Two, and even if you was there, you knew what the people were going to do, and you saw the crowd pushing. How many of us have been to a concert? You know what I mean? And you there,
right,
and everybody is pushing. It was the same thing. A bunch of people, no matter where you go, you know everybody is going to push. You made that story up to see if you can get out. So lock them up more than 6 months.
All righty. Now, talk about locking them up. This alleged rapist who rapes mom and now gets custody of the child, of the daughter. Is this madness or what?
Now, that's crazy. Now, that shows y'all I be right.
Who do you know? He knew the judge. Yep. Yep.
See?
Yep, you always thought
and
about you, too.
Yep. And also, because he knew the judge, and she was able, no, he should not get the kid. But because he knew the judge might be doing the same thing he doing. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Don't sleep on them either.
Yeah.
And for a phone, nah, it's more than that. What are y'all trying to do, play tag? Nah. Mm-mm. He shouldn't get that. And then even with the rape thing is still open, the rape charge is still open, and you want to allow him to take another little girl, you got something to do with that too. You know, I always got
yeah.
I don't be trusting.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't give somebody who has an open rape case and put a child in their possession. What kind of stupidness is that? That's just mm-hmm. crazy. That's just crazy. That's just crazy. All right. Last but not least, we're talking about this mm-hmm. judge who let this man out on $7,500 bond, who had already been in jail for harassing phone calls and some terroristic threat, and now he carries out the threat with the order mm-hmm. of protection. Do you think they need to revoke the ability to get bail and bond when you make these kind of threats against people's lives?
Well, this is very dear to me. I lost one of my friends through this. I've been through the same thing. I don't think that they should give them any bond. I don't think that they should let them out. I know that the reason that they do the bonds is because they're still trying to get money for the city, so they say. But the people's lives are in danger of the women who they're after. When the people who do the crime, they don't care if they get caught, and they don't care if they die. Because one of my friends, she had it, and I think I told the story on here before, and where that he told us he was going to kill her. And she did everything that she's supposed to do, and just like Brother Al said, she had a gun. But this particular moment, she went across the street. She said, I'm just going to run across the street and come right back. She had been carrying this gun with her for a long time. And that particular time is the day that he caught her outside and he killed her. And so when the women, you know, are out there, you got to be very careful. One of the things I know with my case, when they locked up my first husband, they were supposed to call me. So they said that they're going to call you and let you know when they come out. But they didn't do that. Next thing I know, he was in my face. So they really need to do more than that. I was very blessed that he tried to kill me, but I'm still here. So I thank God for that. But it is very serious. When they say they want to do it, they will.
Wow. Well, you know, yes, you did tell us. I think it was even as early as last week, or definitely the week before, about the friend who experienced that. And again, this is just another reason why they need to pull that off the table. Listen, you know what? If in the fit of anger you say this, then you will have to eat them words, because we're taking you at your word. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene, for joining us today. Let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Are you on your mellow GQ tip this morning?
Yeah, I'm trying to be therapeutic and sexy on Thursdays, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God.
But I would like to say before you start that, you know, I think Pastor Charlene been watching too much Murder, She Wrote or MacGyver or something like that. She knows all these things where somebody getting caught up with some stuff. I don't know.
And I don't know.
Life in the hood. Look, life in the hood.
Oh, my goodness gracious. We got some real pastors in the house. All right, Pastor Daniel. We've got Mom, who does the dad move. I'll be back. I'm going to get a pack of cigarettes. And she don't come back. And these kids are on an island. Now, I mean, You ain't even left them at home with some food in the refrigerator. And you say you're going to get some water. Did they? My thing is, did they really need the water that you claim you were going to get?
First of all, you on an island. You surrounded by water. How far did you have to go?
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I knew either you or Brother Al was going to come up with that one.
I mean, how far did you have to go? I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, because, I mean, listen, there have been some times I wanted to leave you in Alexander's or Bloomingdale's, but you went all the way to an island. That's expensive detour there.
Yeah. And can you imagine these kids, you know, who are stuck on an island and the mother never comes back? I mean, talk about abandoned. You know, you listen, you ain't got no other way to feel but abandoned, Pastor KL.
Right. But, I mean, the good side, at least it was an island, you know what I mean? At least they was on something tropical.
I don't think they appreciated that benefit, Pastor KL. I don't know if they'll ever want to go to another island in their life for fear that they might get left.
Right.
All right. Do you think the punishment fits the crime? I think we're gonna start that tagline here. Does the punishment fit the crime? The prison guard loses his job. He loses his subsidized housing, and 6 months of jail time possibly for the incident on Capitol Hill.
No, I don't think it fits the crime. I think he should get more than that, to be honest with you, because I mean. It was an inside. You know, it's too much inside. So I think, you know, he should have got way more than that. I mean, people lost their lives, you know what I'm saying, over this. And like Brother Al said, you know, had it been us, you know, we wouldn't have had that option. We'd have been dead. You know, we wouldn't have went to court. You know, we wouldn't have had any of those things going on. We wouldn't have had them privileges because our lives would have been gone.
Something to think about. I'm curious as to how many of us on this side of the fence is actually going to trial, or is it really the other side of the fence? Because we do know that there are Trump supporters that are on this side of the fence. But I would love to know how many of us are sitting up in court as a part of this mass trial. Because they're taking everybody to trial if they caught. I would love to know how many of us are going to trial on this one. Just a thought. All right. How do you feel about the man who's an alleged rapist and now has custody of his 15-year-old child, and the case is still open?
Well, I'm with everybody else. I mean, you know, from a man myself who's gotten custody of his son when he was 3 months old, gotten custody of his daughter when she was 12, it's like going through Vietnam. They don't just give you over a child. As a father, you have to have some real crazy reasons, you know, to even be considered. And then they dig through your life to make sure that you're going to be good, especially when you're a male trying to get your daughter, a female. You know, so for him to be able to get hurt his child because of a cell phone, they got to be something else going on. You got to know somebody. Because, like I said, I went through months trying to win my cases, and I had to produce receipts. I had to produce blood samples. You know what I mean? I had to produce so much stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Makes you wonder. Makes you go, All right, last but not least, should they pull back this ability to get bond and bail over these threats? Now, I know it's just talk, but at the end of the day, it's proven to not just be about what you say.
Yeah, I think, you know, once it's out there, like, first of all, you know, you said he already went to jail, you know, so we already know what you're capable of doing. You know what I mean? You've said this too many times. So how many times am I going to release you or allow you to be released when I already know what your psyche is? I know what your thought, your frame of mind is. Why would I take that chance? And then, you know, like the panel has said, you know, this is just a paper. You know, people got marriage licenses and still cheat. You know what I'm saying? What does the paper tell you? You know, people got licensed to be a pastor and still got crazy churches. You know, so I you know, the paper ain't always good for you.
No, not at all. Not at all. Thank you for joining us, Pastor Kale. We'll be back to chat in a minute. Oh, let's talk to our last little due time crew member. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. All right. Three children. Dropped off on an island, and mama's coming back for water.
I remember when my mother did that to me. It was traumatizing.
Crazy.
Okay. Tell a story.
No, that's traumatizing. That's horrible. I think it was as Pastor Charlotte was talking, it brought me back to one of my friends. She said both of her parents were on drugs, and the father had already left. And she was in the house, her and her sister was in the house with her mother. And she said she would never forget. I think it was the last time they were taken from her. And she said she would never forget. Her mother said, I'm going to get some bread. I'll be right back. So when she got older and, you know, her mother reconnected, she said, I went to her and she said, now, where's this bread you went to go get? I said, no, you did not ask for that. She said, yeah, I really wanted to know where the bread was. So as you was talking, it was like, wow, you know, it's bad enough if, you know, could we hear stories about parents taking their kids to their parents' house and leaving them or something. But, you know, you left them with family. You just left them on an island. Like, did you leave food? Forget the water. Did you leave food with them? Or did you just leave them there just looking around at the trees? That's horrible.
Yeah, that's some real abandonment. That's abandonment at its best. Does the punishment fit the crime? Job loss, lost housing, potential 6 months.
Absolutely not. Potential at that? No. That was ridiculous what happened over there. He should get a little more than some potential.
All right. Why? You know, listen, I didn't lost my job. All I wanted to do was picket and march. I didn't already lost my job. I didn't already, you know, lost my housing because in order to get the subsidized housing, I had to have the job. How come that's not enough?
I mean, with, like it was said, with everything that happened and, you know, not for nothing. I mean, granted, you know, I can go to picket with one intention and you can go to picket with another intention. And all you need is that one person with the other intention and it goes wrong. At the same time, I really don't see there being a whole lot of people who wasn't with that. But now because you're the one that got caught, now you want to plead. Yeah, no. Unfortunately, this is why I ain't going to pick it nowhere. Because I don't want to be, I'll be the one going in the name of the Lord, but then I'll be the one locked up. No, thank you. No. I'll pick it from social media.
All righty. What about this woman who was raped? She now loses her child to the potential rapist, all because, quote unquote, I gave her a cell phone.
Yeah, okay, so that's the part I'm not getting. So they're penalizing her for giving her daughter the cell phone because of what?
Because that's what the father made the complaint. He had been threatening her all along. You better watch your
right.
step. Be careful of what you do, because his exact words were, I know people in the justice system. So in other words, I know people in high places. So you know he
right.
must have known somebody in high places if all you did was make a complaint that she gave the girl a cell phone, because there's nothing else in this article that says that there was any other charge or accusation.
Right, so he knows the other sex traffickers in high places. Okay. Yeah, he knows the other politicians who are sex trafficking. No, it would be my life's mission to take all y'all down. Mm-mm. You talking about a plan? No one would come up with a better plan than me at this point, because that is just, you know, I know people say don't say retarded, but this world is getting more retarded by the minute. How could you even, let alone custody, how could you even tell this man he even allowed to speak to his child after you hear that he didn't rape this woman?
Yeah,
like, how? Yeah. So this just goes to show, just like Pastor Sharlin said, and I agree, the judge is also part of the sex trafficking ring. So now I'm not about to step on your toes, so now you can have my name on the list, and now when you get locked up, I got to pay somebody to hang you in your cell, or same thing did to that other guy. What was his name? Weinstein, whatever, whoever was. Not Weinstein. Whoever that other guy was, who they found him dead after he got locked up. And everybody was saying it's because he was about to give the list of all the people in the high places who's doing the same thing he was doing. You know, that would be officially my life mission right now, to take all of them down. Because that is, how do you do that? How does that work? So I can't give my child a phone so she could call me when her father tries to touch her? Because that's why she gave her the phone.
Wow.
I can guarantee her.
Wow,
she didn't give her the phone so she can get on TikTok. She gave her that phone. She said, call mommy when you notice he started bugging out. That's why she gave him that phone. Gave her that phone.
Wow. Something to think about. Something to think about.
Pastor Steph.
Yes?
I got a question. Because I think the other thing that needs to be considered with that story is, what is the child's mental capacity at this point? I've been with my mother all this time. My mother, I'm sure, at some point had to disclose how I was conceived. You understand what I'm saying? And now he gets to have custody of me. How do I live on a daily basis? Yeah, how do I live on a daily basis with this? Not knowing will this be the day that he tries to take me.
Right.
Or do something to me.
No, it is something to think about, because, like you said, he already had 50-50 custody. When she was five, when the little girl was five, he found out that she had been conceived. So he went, first of all, already you knew people in high places, because at the age of five, you were granted 50-50 custody. Absolutely.
Right.
Now here you are 10 years later with full custody, and I agree 100%.
Right.
Now that Shanti opens the door, that phone was to access me when your father got to the point when you felt you were in danger. And now I agree. That girl had to be told, because let me tell you something. That mother ain't nowhere in the world. You have 50-50 custody, and I don't tell you, watch out for him.
I can't control
whether you're in his possession. But what I will tell you is, here's what went down. You watch out. So I agree. There has to be a level of trepidation in that child's mind, because ain't no way in the world she's going to sit back and not
you know, feel anything behind knowing
because 10 years later, she's 15 years old, so her body has fully developed.
That's right. That's right. That's why I said mom was 15 when she was raped.
Mm-hmm.
You're 15 now.
Right.
So yeah. This is definitely something to consider. Definitely. You all have made very good points behind this case here. Shanti, should they revoke the ability to get bail or bond once you have threatened someone's life?
Absolutely. You know, they want you to tell the truth. You tell the truth, and then you get ignored. Why are we still letting people out? And you know what? I said this the other day. I don't remember what happened. Oh, someone told me that they went to go see their friend, and some chick the friend was dealing with just out of nowhere came on a friend's property and started vandalizing it, started kicking in the windows, took the trash cans, turned them upside down, the garbage on the lawn. Yeah, something like just started bugging, and he called the cops. My friend called the cops. The guy didn't even call the cops. He was trying to, like, restrain her. And my friend was like, don't touch her. Like, do not touch her. So when the cops come, she can't say anything. He called the cops twice. He said the cops never showed up. I said, no, they'd rather go to the crime scene. They don't want to come so they could help to defuse the situation before it gets worse. They'd rather show up and have to put the yellow tape up and have to get the detectives to start detecting stuff and all that. That's what they'd rather show up for. They don't want to show up to actually do what they're supposed to do. So, again, it's retarded. It's retarded. They said the truth. And he's like, oh, well, we'll just let him out anyway. But meanwhile, you got other people getting locked up for way less. It's just...
Well, thank you so much, all of you, for weighing in on those stories. This kind of has come up in our conversation today. And we're talking about how do we choose our friends as Christians? How do we choose our friends for life, actually, they say, as Christian people? You know, we don't always choose and make the same decisions, when we are unbelievers, that we do, or at least we should make different types of decisions when we're a believer than when we're unbelievers. And, they brought out some reasons why, and I wanted to see what you all thought about, you know, how you choose friends as a Christian person. They say, I choose my friends based on my targeted tomorrow, not my today. How true is that for you, Brother Al?
Well, my targeted tomorrow, not today.
Not
that's a pretty
today.
Good one. I'm sorry, we said, Pastor?
Not my today.
Oh, not my today. I would say, yeah. Because, you know, you just choose that person for today where that person may be doing something good today and then going out to rob and kill them all. So I would say, yeah, you want to look for that tomorrow friend and not that today friend. So I would say yes.
All righty. Pastor Charlie, how true is that in your life? I choose my friends based on my targeted tomorrow, not my today.
Yeah, because where they're going, you know, which their goals are, where their mind is set of, you know, of the future. Because sometimes we get stuck in today, but it can be as their, you know, their goals is, you know, to get closer to the Lord. I will use that.
Okay. Pastor KL, is that how you're choosing your friends? By my targeted tomorrow, not my today?
Yeah, I think when you choose a friend, your friend should balance you, and you should balance that friend as well. you know, a lot of times, you know, unfortunately, people treat friends as far as what can they do for me now, you know, and then once they can never do anything or once they run out of doing for me, then you're no longer a friend, you know. But there's a lot of things you consider, you know, when you have a friend, you know, and they, again, they should balance you. They should be able to tell you the truth and you not be offended. You know, later on down the line, you know, if this dress is too tight, you need to tell me. If this tie doesn't work, you need to tell me. If I'm doing something wrong with my children, you know, we need to consider that. You need to tell me. They should balance you, and you should be able to balance them.
All righty, all righty. Shaktis, how does that work for you, choosing a friend?
Friendships are so overrated. it's like, do we really have to have friends? Oh my gosh. As a Christian choosing a friend, yes, you have to look for the tomorrow, because if I don't want to talk to you today, I ain't going to want to talk to you tomorrow. So that's how I choose my friends as a Christian. Jesus, is this the person that you need me to minister to? Please help me to want to talk to them tomorrow. That's how I choose my friends as a Christian.
Wow. Okay.
I'm glad I'm your uncle.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying to myself, I'm glad I ain't your friend.
I'm glad I'm her father.
The ones who are already my friends, the ones who are already my friends are already in the safe zone. And now we got to talk about these hashtag new friends. Jesus, you know. Jesus said we got to have.
I taught you well, my daughter. I taught you well.
In Jesus' name. Oh, my goodness. All right, Pastor Charlotte. I choose my friends based upon their disposition and attitude.
I'm laughing because they all got attitudes. I would say yes. And the reason I'm saying yes is because, when you know, if you a bit too much, then that'll push me to be a bit too much. And I'm not trying to go there. So I would say yes, because, like I said, most of the people have attitudes. And if you push them to a wrong way, and even myself, you know, I just repent. Y'all pray for me. Keep praying for me. So I would say yes.
Oh, my goodness. All right,
I got to tell the truth. Yeah.
Tell the truth and shame the devil. There you go. Hallelujah. Pastor Tell, you know, we're talking about in this Christian, not in your former life, but in your Christian life. You know, I choose my friends based upon their disposition and attitude.
Yeah, Definitely. I mean, again, you know, you have to see this disposition, the attitude also shows you their walk. You know what I mean? Because you can't do certain things in God. You know what I mean? With certain attitudes, you can't be mean to everybody. You know, saying and be in God. You can't rob and steal and be in God. So your disposition and attitude. I mean, you can't be a hoe and be in God. I mean, there's just certain things you just can't do. You know, so yeah. If you watch them closely, you know, you can choose whether they're going to be a good friend or not.
All righty. Come on, Shaktis. You choose your friends based on their disposition and attitude.
Yes, as a recovering angry person, I don't need to be around anyone that has a bad disposition and an attitude. So once I sense that that's just who you are, like that's your definition, the definition of you, I can't be around you. So you can't be my friend. You can be my associate, and my associate maybe, but my friend, no. I can't constantly be around that.
All righty, Brother Al, I choose my friends based upon their disposition and attitude.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, because I'm I guess because I'm getting older, I can't deal with the attitude. And when you're around a person that got that disposition and that attitude, it don't feel good. I don't feel good around them. So if I don't feel good around you, you know, I can't be around you. You know, I mean, we all have little attitudes with certain things, but again, it depends on how far you go with it. It's like what Pastor Carol said, and also shows me what your walk is about. You know, there's a lady that used to go to my church. She's a minister, and she always got this look, attack mode look on her face. So I really didn't speak to her much because when you say something to her, no, and I'm being serious. You know, I'm telling you, Pastor, if you would see her, it looked like she's ready to attack you any minute. And when you would speak to her, and I said, look at her and be like, how do you expect somebody to come to you and say, pray with me, or can you pray for me with that type of disposition? So I wouldn't say much to her because she just looked in attack mode all the time. So even though you got some people who are claiming to be Christians or ministers and this and that, don't mean that they always have a great attitude. So I shy away from them. You know, me and Pastor Charlotte get along good. She got attitude, but if I break out the hamburgers, we good. You know what I'm saying? If I break out the hamburgers, we all good. So, but no, I can't. I choose on that, definitely.
All right, you know, based on, because we're going to continue this conversation next week, Stan, but based on what you have said, all of you, I got a question. You know, when we convert and transition to living a Christian lifestyle, we already have friends. How do you deal with those friends who no longer are going where you're going? And I want you to stay right there. Please do not mix this up. You know, the first thing they said was choosing a friend who targeted my tomorrow, not my today. But now you've already got friends when you become a Christian. How do you continue to move forward with those people who are not in your tomorrow, but who was in your yesterday, Pastor KL?
Well, that can be very, very difficult, because, you know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. You know, I did childish things, you know, but now that I'm grown, you know, I move away from that. And before, you know, you convert yourself, you know, to Christianity, you're a child and you do crazy and childish things. And some of your friends are still that way, you know, so though you don't want to throw them away, you know, you can't hang with them anymore. You can't talk to them as much because you know the influence. You know, an alcoholic just can't go to the bar even though he's saved, because sometimes the influence within itself, you know, will make you slide back, you know, make you backslide. So, you know, you continue to pray for them. You know, you let them know where you are now. You continue to pray for them. But some things we just can't do anymore. And you have to agree to disagree on a lot of stuff.
Okay. Shantice, you know, you're talking about, you know, you now are moving closer to the Lord, and you see that your friends are not. How do you continue with these friends who were initially friends of tomorrow, but no longer are friends of tomorrow? They're friends of yesterday.
Yeah, I was about to say, when you have friends already and then God calls you and you choose to go with him, he shows you that they weren't really friends, so 95% of them end up getting dropped. And the other 5%, he wants to keep around you so they can see the transformation, and then you now minister to them. And then depending on their response to God will determine if they go into the category of friends of yesterday or friends of tomorrow. So when you decide to give your life, you have to understand that a lot of these so-called friends are automatically going to fall off, because the distinction is going to automatically be made for most of them, because, you know, how they are and how they start looking at you and how nasty they start getting because, you know, you no longer, to them, you start to indirectly criticize them. It's get all twisted. But, yeah, a lot of them, you're not going to they're not going to be a part of your tomorrow, because Jesus already puts the sword down and shows that there's a distinct difference already in these people. And it may just mean also because he may not have you to be the one to minister to them, and he may see that if he keeps you around, if he allows you to stay around them, they're going to continue to pull you back into yesterday instead of you walking into your tomorrow. So a lot of them are going to get cut off.
All right. Brother Al, what happens to those friends? Do they become friends of yesterday instead of friends of tomorrow?
First, I would like to say, well said, my daughter, well said. Going forward with that. When I started making this transition over like that, it's like what Shanti said. You start seeing things like, wow, why am I hanging around that person? I'm angry around that person. This person is getting me upset. This person is doing these things that I don't do. And I'm a straightforward person, so I start cutting off. You know, some of them that's pretty cool with me, I start layering off. So they go, man, I ain't talked to you about a month. Yeah, I'm doing good. How you doing, brother? And, you know, and then some of them, when you tell them, hey, listen, this is what I'm doing now, they don't want to be bothered with you because, all right, but you ain't going out drinking with me no more. Let me call the other person. So a lot of them would just fall off their self. You know, God started weeding them out for you. And like Shanti said, he'll keep the ones around you that, okay, you know what, I'm going to keep this person around because, you know, this person needs to be ministered to, and I'm going to use you to minister to this person to bring them over. I spoke about this several times on the broadcast. I had a friend for 30-something years. I mean, we grew up together. He had to go. You know, I started, you know, once I made this transition to give myself to God, I started just seeing the craziness. And I'm sitting there like, wow, why I didn't see this before? Because God now opened my eyes like, yo, he doing this and he's not trying to change. And I don't want to be around that. So don't get me wrong. I still speak to him once in a blue moon. Hey, how you doing? But the hanging out, talking all the time, that's gone. So I would say, yes, you know, them people start becoming friends of yesterday in the past.
Okay. All right. Pastor Charlene, you have the final word today. You know, what happens to those friends that you bring into your, you know, into your new life of Christendom? You know, what do you do with them? Are they friends of tomorrow or are they friends of yesterday?
Well, in my journey, I still have some that still have come to Christ with me. A lot, just like it's been said, just dropped off because they could not believe that I was going that way, and they tried to intimidate me to come back to the bar. Then it was that I had to make those hard decisions, not only just my friends, but family as well, that did not want to be bothered because they could not intimidate me to come back that route. Also, God do open your eyes and show you some people that you don't need to be around because they're there for a motive. And what is their motive or what they're trying to do? And like I said, some came on with me and have come to Christ through me of just me showing who I am and being in the presence. So even in the mix of that, you have to be careful, even though, of them being around you as well, because jealousy jumps in as well. So even in the mix of that, you know, you didn't realize that people can be jealous of just because, you know, don't really even have a reason, just because of your anointing, just because of who you know, just because you don't want to ride on your skirt tail. So I had to get grips with that as well on this journey. So now friends start thinning out, you know. So that is my journey that I'm on now. And then when we talk about the new people coming in, that's a little hard too. You got to be careful with that too because they have a motive as well. So pick your friends very lightly.
All righty. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, my due time crew, for your contribution to this conversation. And we're going to continue this next week, God spares. And I look forward to how we go forward and the information you have to give out. All right? I pray you have a blessed day.
You too.
We'll have a blessed one, too.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It's that time on a Thursday where we pray for them. And although we don't have a targeted individual, we still have to pray for them. We have a whole slew of people we just got finished talking about. So, hold on. Shanti says she does have a pray for them. So we only got a couple of minutes, so you got to talk fast. What you got for us today, Shanti? Who you got for us today?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I do have a pray for them. Last week, I think it was, or earlier this week, Justin Bieber took to social media reporting that he it was really a video to mainly apologize to his fans for having to cancel a bunch of shows, a few shows, because out of nowhere he became paralyzed on, I think it was the left side of his face, with something called the Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. And he's like, one side of his face, he's not able to do anything. When he blinks, his eye doesn't move. When he smiles, that side of his mouth doesn't move. And, you know, he had to go on social media and do this because he was kind of getting ragged because the people didn't know why they bought all these tickets and then there wasn't a show. So he had to go on there, and it immediately brought me, it made me think about how we did the pray for them for Tank with his air, you know, situation. I forgot the term, the medical term for it, but his air situation. And this just came out of nowhere. And what he kept saying, I'm sorry, really quick. He said that out of nowhere, he's been diagnosed with this rare neurological syndrome, which is caused by the same virus that causes chicken pox and shingles. And shingles is kind of linked to herpes. So it was just like, as I was reading this the other day, I was just like, it's just so much, you know, that goes on with our body. A lot of times this stuff lies dormant in our body and we have no idea. And then out of nowhere, it just starts to sprout and manifest. And he said a few times in the article that he just believes that this is his body telling him to take a break and shut down. And I immediately made the association, like, this could very well be God telling you chill out, sit down, take a break. You know, we don't know what's going on in his personal life, but of course, as we know with these entertainers, and he is a child star. You know, he didn't just come out. He's been in this industry since he was a kid. So we don't know what has been going on. He hasn't really been in the media for a lot of, you know, crazy things.
Negativity.
There's the name for it. It's not coming to mind. But, right, a lot of negativity. Like, we don't see Justin Bieber popping up in headlines for all of this crazy stuff. But at the same time, we don't know what's going on in his life. So, you know, if this is God's way, either way, God is allowing it. So God is saying, yes, you need to sit down and take a break. So I'm just definitely lifting him up in prayer, praying that his body, you know, gets back to normal. And even with that, that he doesn't immediately run back to performing, because, you know, God could relieve him of the physical effect but still want him to sit down. But if God feels like the only way he's going to sit down is by allowing the physical effect to stay in place, then God could very well do that. So just praying for him and his support team, that they support him properly, that they don't push him to move when he shouldn't move. And, you know, just praying that he did mention God. So praying that God uses this as a time to possibly reintroduce himself to him in a whole different aspect. Because, you know, he has a big following and he still has a young crowd. So we don't know if God could be also using this to help him to have a platform, you know, to speak on something else more towards, you know, a godly aspect. So just lifting him up in prayer and praying that whatever medical, you know, attention he needs, he gets, and so on and so forth. So yes, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention to you that I did have a prayer for him.
Okay. Thank you, Shanti. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for loving us. We thank you, God, for thinking about us. We thank you, God, or tapping us on the shoulder and not just saying to wake up from our physical sleep, but to wake up from our emotional sleep, our mental sleep, our spiritual sleep, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, as we lift Justin Bieber up before you, God, some may think it's strange that we would take the time to even practice this. But Lord, because we know that it is not unlikely to do the things and touch the people and do the things that we would consider unconventional. Mm. We know who you are. And we know the possibility. We know the hope. We know the promises that you've made. And you have opened yourself up to every creation that's yours. And you own it all. It all belongs to you, including Justin Bieber's life, dear Heavenly Father. And as a child star who has now walked into adulthood, and has still remained in this arena of entertainment, Lord, we don't know what you're doing with his body. We don't know what you have allowed his body to walk into. Is this something that could have been a long time ago, but you've just been holding back the reins with the possibility of him coming to you? But now that he has not, then you have allowed all of this to happen. And Lord, we're asking you to heal his body according to your will for his life, dear Heavenly Father. As Shantisa said, we know that you can just wash this away. Right now, in this very moment, you could turn all of that around that he's experiencing. And he could be like brand new. But we also understand that there might be a journey that's ahead of him. And however he's mentioned or called your name, you are in his head somewhere because he wouldn't have even said it if you were. So all we're going to ask that one time that he mentioned in this particular post, that you would now become a major consideration, that consideration would become a distinct decision for him to follow you. And even if he doesn't know quite who you are, there are so many people at his disposal that could introduce him to you, God. We're asking you to raise them up right now, not to take advantage of him, not to mislead him, not to parlay with him, but because they care about his soul, because they care about his eternal future, that they would touch his life in a special way. God, we're asking, your body of Christ is asking for just that one more soul who, like Shanti said, has the potential of pulling millions. And we know that right now, although one life saved is a blessing. Well, right now, we ain't got time for one by ones and two by twos. We need to pull in the millions. And these people have that kind of influence when it's negative, when it's not about you, when it's a worldly thing. But now, God, we're asking that this one particular life be used for the cause of Christ, that all of these things that he has done in his life, that now that he has to sit still, his body ain't even moving no more the way it's supposed to, quote unquote. And now, God, we ask that he turn that same body over to you, because you didn't keep him here for all these years just to exist, but that he could turn his life to you and now influence how many more to give their life to you, God. So we're asking, God, that he be that person who sets that example, that person who leads the mob. Lord, we pray that he is that person who allows this experience to be the change agent. that he hears you, even if he doesn't think it's you, but that he hears you ringing the bell. And like I said, that you surround him with people who do know you and who could bring you to him, introduce you to him, unlike any other time in his life. And because he's forced to sit still, that he would now pick up and he would pay attention. So we thank you, God, for this opportunity to call out his name. And we pray that we can hear some great things behind this. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Shantice, for your contribution today in Bieber's name. Have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, it is a privilege, you know, when Shantice brought this concept to me about praying for, you know, these different entertainers or these well-known people. You know, it is a privilege to be able to call out their name. It's an awareness that God would not give that concept if we didn't have the power of prayer behind us to see these things manifest, that we have the power of calling out these names and God answering, and now the change takes place. You know, we don't understand how big the outcome can be when we call out these names. And we're grateful to God for using us today, that he didn't have to call our name, but yet he's using us for other people. And to think that these people will never know our name, but God is using us to bless them, is a big thing to me. And I don't take that lightly. You know, a lot of times, you know, you're so busy moving, you don't even realize how God is using you. You're so busy moving, God can't use you the way he wants to until he slows you down. And I remember years ago, I used to say to people, you know, if God wants to talk to me, he's got to pull out a bullhorn because I'm so busy moving and I probably won't even hear him. And man, he ain't pull out no bullhorn. Or he just put a couple of bars in front of me. And that was the bullhorn. And I give him thanks for calling out my name. And not just calling out my name for Stephanie, but calling my name so that I can bless other people. And when you've been chosen by God for other people's lives, it's nothing like it. There's nothing that I've ever done in my life that has been more impactful and more enjoyable and more fulfilling than to be used by God for other people's lives. Give it a try. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to focus on the things above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew who always comes through big time for us. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss the opportunity to give Christ your life. Because later is not promised to us. And it doesn't necessarily have to be death. You can be a part of the walking dead. Until tomorrow, where is Freestyle Friday? If God spares our life, I love you.